As we go deeper into Rohatsu, your practice is deepening, ripening. You're practicing attentively, tension. There is only this one day of Rohatsu. I have only this one day to practice. I have only this one round to sit. Carry it to the ultimate and you will say, this one doing. This one doing is all there is. This one doing. You must practice with urgency, noble urgency. Between rounds of zazen, you may go to the toilet or you may do walking meditation. You may stretch your legs and back. I passed through the hondo just now and saw someone stretching and relaxing his muscles. So I struck him on the back and told him, good. Do not be careless. If you are careless, your hard-earned efforts become play. Maintain your vigilance at all times. Be very careful between rounds of zazen. We are here practicing together as one. Our combined, intertwined energy makes us strong. Someone came to me with the idea that maybe it would be good to go off and practice on his own for a while. There would be no distractions, no tendency to seek escape, no tendency to indulge in idle talk, nothing to distract and cause him to look off from his practice. He would go off to the mountains to continue his practice. This idea comes to every practitioner at some time or another, that it might be best to go off and practice for a while on their own. But my own teacher, Dairon Roshi, always discouraged it. If one who is still immature in their practice attempts to imitate one who is already strong, instead of it being of value, it will more likely cause a disruption in the Dharma connection, a weakening of your Dharma connection. Continuing with ever more attention, one's practice together with and thanks to a Sangha is the easiest way to be able to let go purely of one's self-cherishing. You are receiving the power of the group in practice. You're receiving the nurturance of the group in practice. If one who is not yet letting go of the hold on self goes off to practice alone, it's very possible that that person will fall into bad habits, into the samadhi of distraction, and be jerked around by the waves this way and that. It's a different story for one who has already broken through the barrier of duality, who has broken through the notion of self and other. If you have had this experience, then wherever you go, it becomes clear to you when you are looking off. So you won't be led astray by changing winds. If your intention, if your aim is strong, then practicing alone can be a positive way to strengthen and continue your practice. But for one who is still held prey to age-old habits, who still wavers and vacillates, it's dangerous to practice alone. You shouldn't overestimate where you are in your practice. You are so very blessed. You are so cared for, so guarded, protected, nurtured. There are no praises high enough to express how blessed you really are. How do you express your appreciation? How do you respond to the blessings that you receive? You answer with your practice by earnestly carrying through with your practice just this. Die while still alive, and you will know perfect ease. Before dying, you cannot begin to imitate ease and comfort, relief. Of course, this death is not the death of this body, the end of this lifetime. It is, to sum it up neatly, death is to sever once and for all the roots of self-cherishing, to sever the roots of the judging, evaluating mind. There was no mind. These are the words of enlightenment. Nowhere is there any mind. Yet you take the mind to be your master, and you get pulled around by the nose, now crying, now laughing, angry, happy, always stirred up by something. This is our habit, karmic tendencies from the ancient past. But happily, our tendency to be agitated is not grounded in fact. All things are just as they are, the embodiment of the genuine, of truth. Each thing is the perfect embodiment of all being. And so there is nowhere to attach in evaluating, judging this or that. Yet we so quickly do try to attach to a this and that. Thanks to our ability to discriminate, we imagine our perceptions and judgments to be the way it is, hard and solid. Our view of the world is thus contrived. Boundaries, distance. Boundaries between this and that are contrived. We make ourselves so small, brittle. This is not truth, not in accord with reality. So, of course, we can't be truly satisfied. We don't have peace of mind. When something comes up to disrupt our little world, we become afraid, anxious. In truth, all is clear, infinite, clear skies. Even if a cloud arises, there is no obstacle. The cloud only appears to have broken off, to be separate. A little white cloud rises from somewhere, and again, from somewhere, a little white cloud disappears. Neither grasp it nor reject it. Remain clear. Remain clear. No grasping, no carrying. There is no possibility of grasping. Open your palms wide, wide open to anything. Some of you must be cautioned not to allow yourself to sit back and to coast. The feeling that this is good, or I'm getting somewhere, or this is good sitting. Your practice is not like getting into a relaxing hot bath. If you attempt to grasp any state that you judge to be positive, well, you'll find that it crumbles from under you. There is no lingering, no abiding. Somebody asked me, but I am sitting. Isn't this sitting? What's wrong with it feeling good? aren't you lingering? In that feel-good zazen, you aren't sitting, you're sitting back. No grasping, no carrying. Open wide, let go. Cast off body and mind. Throw yourself into the house of Buddha. Straighten your posture. If you're careless, if you're tired, your posture will begin to decay. What a waste to spend any of your precious time in a slump, backbone slumped. Please do not be careless about your posture. The back of your head is attached, taut to the heavens, so that your chin is naturally pulled in. It's very natural, very stable, straight. There's no tension, no pull to one side or another. Correct posture. Dogen Zenji often advises us to watch our posture. When you cast off body and mind, throw them into the house of Buddha, then all is done for you, and you become a Buddha without effort, without calculation. There is just to breathe this breath, this one breath. Shkantaza, that practice. The koan mu, this one doing. Chitante, that practice. That, just that. The practice that you're doing. Doing, that doing. Not doing your practice is not throwing yourself, not giving yourself to the house of Buddha. Not doing your practice, but rather doing your head, working your wits. This way, not that way. This isn't the way. I'll try that. This is no good. That's good. You're exercising the discriminating intellect. There are many, many levels of intellectualization, many ways in which the mind calculates and evaluates, separates, divides. All of it you must drop for once. Said that the mind is like a wild animal. Please do not take the smart computer to be the center, the master. The smarter one is, the more one must take care, the more likely you are to rely on your judgments. I'm forever repeating myself, but I'm going to say it still again. Understand, bear in mind, that the center, the essence, is your true self, Buddha heart, Buddha nature. Remain centered in your tanden. From your tanden, act in accord with the flow of time, place, and circumstance. Work from your tanden. Continue, carry on in this way, and just do this one doing. How could you feel that it's not enough? Just this one doing. If you practice this way, then no question about it, each step you take will be a step of growth, a step of ripening in the Buddha way. This step is never lost. It is not the construction that you do in your discriminating mind. It is the practice that you are doing. The practice of dying, dying the death of discriminating mind, dying to that mind, dying to that mind. Your practice, this one doing, is practicing the knowledge, the realization that discriminating mind has no roots anywhere. this one doing, you are practicing the realization that self, limited self, has no roots. Just this one doing. Just this one breath. Count just one. Great breath counting. Just this one breath. Just this one breath. Only this breath. Following the breath, all myself is only this breath. When you just follow, there is no me, myself, all myself, to grasp, to be grasped. There is no this, no only, no breath, to be grasped. There is no limit, no stinginess. When you practice in this way, throw yourself into the house of Buddha, then all is Buddha. There is no effort, no calculation. Life and death is transcended. You become Buddha. No matter what arises, neither entertain it nor reject it. Just this doing. Just this doing. Just doing. Do not be vague. Do not be easygoing. Do not sit as though you're in a warm bath, and do not sit as though you've got all the time in the world. Noble urgency. This is it. Isn't it the case that all being is dedicating itself, burning itself in offering for one sole being? The answer comes from the mind practice of one sole being. You yourself have a great responsibility. You are responsible, only you. Shakyamuni Buddha, the world-honored one's lifeblood, is transmitted directly to us. All beings are Buddha, endowed with Buddha virtue, Buddha wisdom. In saying these words, he was surely holding back, knowing how surprising his words would be. All being is Buddha life. Still, there's hesitation there. Shakyamuni Buddha must have wanted to say simply, all the Buddhas and the ancient teachers are just this one doing. There is nothing else. Doing your practice. So let go, open your heart, and just do this one doing. Chitante. Just doing. Rohatsu Sesshin. It is just this one day. You have just this one day. Rohatsu Sesshin. It is just this one round of Zazen. Rohatsu. It is just this one doing. If you make up your mind that there is just this one doing, from that determination arises your continued practice. Determine that there is just now, here, this one doing. Please, practice with this urgency, noble urgency. Chitante. Together with all beings, we attain the Buddha way.